Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
We got lots of things to talk about.
We do?
We do.
Like what?
Oh, lots of things.
All right.
Do you think lots is good?
Do
you think we're going to be talking about gold today? Do you think we're going to be talking about the economy? And maybe
we'll get the gold and the economy and President Obama and I don't know what's going on in the Ukraine. And there are a bunch of that. There's always a lot of things to talk about. And hopefully we'll talk about them in a way that gives people a little different perspective than what they can pick up from most other sources, people who make comments on this. We'll try to give you a little original spin and see if it seems plausible and reasonable to people. And
it was good to see a reasonable increase in gold today, $2.90 today, Al, $1,313. You have silver up 9 cents today at $20.12. Platinum was down 8 at $14.26, along with palladium down 7. At $792. The USDX was up a little bit, but still below 80, 79.96 at 0.03 to the upside. Crude oil still teetering at that 100 level, 99.15, down 0.45. And the paper markets today, and of course they're stronger. I mean, did you have any doubt the Dow was up 93 points? At 16,307, the NASDAQ was up 7 at 4,234, and the S&P was also up 8 at $1,865. The 10-year yield today is 2.74%. And, the good news was the strong consumer report. I'll try to bring that up here after the second break to look at those numbers today. The IRS came out today and says Bitcoin is taxable, describing it as a property, not a currency, Al. Woo-hoo.
Well, I don't doubt that if you give the IRS its way, and the air is going to be taxable, and the water is going to be taxable, and you'll be charged every time you flush the toilet and take a shower, and soap is going to be taxable, and I don't know. Talk to the IRS and ask them to name something that's not taxable, and the answer will be government. Government's not taxable. The rest of it, it's all subject to taxation.
And a lot there is, that's for sure. How long and how much more can they get, Al?
How much more you got?
Yeah.
Do you have any left?
No.
If you have some.
Not for them.
They want it. You understand? It doesn't matter how much you got, if you have any at all. I mean, the government's object is to acquire all the dollars that there are. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm sure if they could find, if they get everything but maybe $15 that's stuck in the crevice of the couch in your living room, all right, they're going to be passing new laws about probably want to impose a fine on you. They'll need the $15 and probably another $500 fine for keeping money in the crevice in the couch. Oh.
Well, today there was a G7 meeting. The group of eight. Is it the group of seven?
Yeah, they've decided the group of eight has become the group of seven. It's kind of like an Agatha Christie novel. And we'll get down to one finally, and then there were none. You know? And it'll be President Obama meeting all by himself up on the third floor of the White House.
Well, they are having the meeting, or are they just totally suspending them because it was supposed to be held in Sochi, Russia?
Yep.
And I know they had pulled out of Sochi. Is it Sochi? Sochi?
Sochi.
Sochi. And they pulled out, but I thought they were going to meet someplace else.
Well, they're going to actually meet in Brussels.
Brussels,
according to
it.
The Washington Examiner. But they won't meet in Russia. That's where it was supposed to be. And they've announced that we will not participate in the planned Sochi summit. The members of the G7 group and representatives of the European Union said in a statement from The Hague, we will suspend our participation in the G8 until Russia changes course and the environment comes back to where the G8 is able to have meaningful discussion and will again meet in the G7 format. Same time provided, yada, yada, in June in Brussels to discuss broad agenda that we have together. See, so they're going to suspend participation in the G8. And all I mean is they're going to suspend Russia's participation. They're going to still meet, but Russia's not going to meet with them until Russia changes course. They're not going to change anything. And they'll be able to have meaningful discussion about what? The only thing they have to discuss with Russia is the supply of natural gas. I know there's other things they can talk about and the rest of it, but they talk about meaningful discussion, good grief, about what? And they're going to discuss their broad agenda. What does a broad agenda mean? It means they don't know what they're going to do. When they have a narrow and specific agenda, they will either do or not do something. When they have a broad agenda, they are simply going to get together to gab. That's when they're saying, we're not going to let you in on our gab session, Russia, so there. Obama met with leaders from G7 nations in the Netherlands on Monday in an attempt to isolate Putin and deter him from moving military forces further into the Ukraine. How are you going to isolate Putin as long as Europe gets natural gas from Russia? You are not going to isolate Putin. You may be able to irritate and annoy the man to some degree, but you're not going to isolate him. And he's already said they're not going to move. You never know who's lying and who's telling the truth. But Putin said he's not going to bring any more military into the Ukraine. Not at this time, at least. This is just one of those things where the governments of the West are talking and complaining, but nothing much is really going on. Thus far, Putin has been unmoved by limited sanctions on senior Russian and pro-Moscow Ukrainian government officials. How many? Less than two dozen. Okay. Some like 15, 13, 15, somewhere in there, have had sanctions put on them where they can't get access to bank accounts or whatever and property that may be in the West. So we've got a dozen, 15 Russians and Ukrainians who have been sanctioned. That's not, and Putin's not one of them. You know, the government's, oh, we're going to get so tough on these people. We're going to, no, you are not. Not going to do anything. Obama vowed that Putin will face costs But no limited sanctions will be placed on Putin himself, but he's going to face costs for his action and is looking to rally European support. Now, he's not going to rally the Europeans. They get their natural gas, about a quarter of their natural gas from Russia. Europe isn't going to support the Ukraine if it means reducing their gas supply. It isn't going to happen. Behind broader sanctions, in the event that Moscow gets more aggressive. Okay, if Moscow becomes aggressive, then they will try to rally European support. There is no European support at this time, and there probably won't be any in the future. Azar Russia will take no more military action unless the Ukrainians threaten the remaining Russian population in the Ukraine, which means Russia is very unlikely to invade the Ukraine, the proper portion of the Ukraine, unless they're provoked in another, unless the Ukrainians provoke them in a way that the Russians deem to be intolerable, they're going to stay out. So in any case, the story goes on, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. The leaders say they do not recognize the leaders of the G7, which incidentally include Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Out of those seven countries, five of them are having significant financial problems, economic problems. France, Italy, Japan, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Canada, I think Canada's doing all right, and Germany is strong. But the G7 is not a powerful block of countries. The majority of their economies are to some degree impaired. And they're going to try to raise Cain with Russia, who, you know, they may have some problems, but they're probably stronger than most of the, as nations go, they're probably stronger than the balance of the nations in the G7, with the possible exception of Germany. In any case, the leaders of the G7 say they will not recognize either Crimean referendum to secede from the Ukraine or Russia's move to annex the province. Well, they may not recognize, all right, the annexation of the Crimea, but it's a done deal. It's happened. It's, you know, and they said, we reaffirm Russia's actions will have significant consequences, the leaders vowed. Oh, bunk. They aren't going to have any consequences that are significant. This thing is a done deal. They're simply saying, Vladimir Putin, you just wait till your daddy comes home, and boy, are you going to be in trouble. But the truth is, daddy is not going to say anything. They go on, we remain ready to intensify actions, including coordinated sectoral sanctions. How about that, Melody? Coordinated sectoral sanctions. That will have an increasingly significant impact on the Russian economy if Russia continues to escalate this situation. Russia said, look, we aren't going any further. And I believe them. I'm not saying it's God's truth, but I believe them. They won't unless the Ukrainians start picking on the, oppressing the Russians that are there. And the implication of all of this is this. If Russia doesn't escalate by initiating an invasion of the Ukraine, and that's initiating, not just reacting to the Ukrainians oppressing Russians. If Russia doesn't escalate by initiating an invasion of the Ukraine, the West won't impose any more sanctions. Huh? Thus, Russia's annexation of the Crimea is a done deal, and the West will do nothing more to stop it than make idle threats and a certain amount of rhetoric and blah, blah, blah. But won't count for diddly. It's, you know, the news in this, in a sense, is that there isn't any news. Nothing's changing. They're going to sanction a dozen or two Russians and Ukrainians and prevent them from going to Disney World. No big deal, you know. This is, I hate to even talk about this, it's in the news, but it is to some degree much ado about nothing. Right? But here's where we go, here's where still, if they continue pushing Russia and trying to isolate it, they say they're going to try to isolate Russia as if Russia has no options. Here's an article from Russia Today, and the headline is Russia to launch its payment system in months as disruption fears mounts. The move by the international payment systems Visa and MasterCard to block their use in Russia has unnerved some Russian businesses. Meanwhile, Moscow says its own national payment system may become fully operative within months. And what they're saying is that the United States has recruited the assistance of Visa and MasterCard to stop serving some of the banks in Russia. And this is one of the alleged sanctions that's being placed on the Russian economy. Now, it's not really on the Russian government, but it is on the banks. What's going to happen? Russia says it has its own credit card system waiting in the wings, and it'll take about 4 months to get it operational. What that means is we are pushing Russia away from using the West's credit card systems. We are pushing Russia away from using the U.S. dollar. We are compelling Russia to do the one thing that can actually hurt us more than anything else, and that is to set up its own monetary, its own system for paying its debts internationally. And this isn't a new idea. They've talked about it with the BRIC nations for a couple of years now. They want to set up an alternative payment system where Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa can start trading between themselves, between those five or six nations, and they want to trade without reference to the U.S. dollar. And here the U.S. is apparently pushing them more in that direction. And this is where it gets really stupid, or at least it seems to be stupid, unless the government, our government, wants to collapse the dollar. What they're saying is, if they're going to push Russia away, Russia is going to say, all right, you won't let us play in your G8? Fine, we'll go about our business, we'll sell our natural gas wherever we please, and we'll take currencies other than dollars to pay for it. How about that? And that is a real threat, because the only thing that really sustains the dollar's value is the perception that it's the reserve currency of the world, and that it is still a petrodollar, and you need it in order to buy petroleum in many places, no longer all places. It was every place that sold crude oil only sold for dollars. Now it's most places that sell crude oil sell for dollars. And that's as that diminishes, the value of the dollar, the need for the dollar on the international market will diminish. As the need for the dollar, where people don't need dollars to buy crude oil, they don't need dollars. Then what? They aren't going to get as many dollars. They aren't going to search for them. We're not going to be able to export our own inflation. As dollars become less necessary in foreign transactions, foreign governments and nations are going to begin to send their dollars back to this country and use them to buy infrastructure and resources and companies. And we may see prices go up. The inflation that we've exported for years may be coming back to us now. So, I don't know. You look at these things, and on the one hand, nothing's going on. But on the other hand, there appear to be some morons in charge of what's happening, and they appear capable and determined to make things happen that are contrary to our best interests. So what do you make of it? I don't know. Melody, what do you make of it?
Well, I mean, I definitely believe that... you know, you can't really make... I'm not sure what you can make out of it, Al.
Oh, it's just crazy.
It is crazy.
It's a kind of craziness. And people are just... Somebody just needs to say, look, there's nothing we can do about it. We're sorry about this Crimea. You're now part of Russia. We're sorry about this Ukraine. We can't back our treaty. That's all. Sorry. And just walk away from it. But we've got to do this little dance where we don't want to admit that we've backed out of the treaty obligations to protect the Ukraine. You know, it's just foolishness. In the end, you look like a high school kid on his first date. You know? You're going to get it all wrong. You're going to just be, you're going to play the fool on this for sure. You got to take that first date, I guess, but maybe you need to practice somehow before you get there. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival, and I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
We do have one little package that I'd like to eliminate. I tell folks that all of our product that leaves the office is inspected. And when we sell 90% silver, we pull out, we go through, and we pull out a lot of the worn coins, ones that, that I wouldn't accept. We have a small bag, $129 face value. You can get it, you can buy it for 50 cents below spot. 50 cents below spot. So it's going to be on a first call, first serve basis. It's a great deal. It's just a mixture. I think there's some silver dollars in there. It's really a good buy, $129 face. Give Carla a call right now, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. That'll be gone in a flash. So dial quick, folks. It's a really good buy. And they're not so worn that, it's really a good deal. It's just ones that we pick out. They collect over a period of time. So visit our website, DGScoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And of course, our radio archives are posted there. So, Al, you were talking about the G7, and I was talking to a longtime client and longtime friend, and they said, "Well, we saw a picture of the G7 leaders. They really do not inspire much confidence.
Yeah, no.
They're pathetic looking, dumpy looking, and these are the leaders of the new world." So
I know, and most of their nations are in trouble.
They're all in trouble.
Not necessarily deep trouble, but
Oh, fairly Trump.
The
well,
G
I mean,
symbol is significant, serious.
The only thing that's holding them up is our donations to them.
Well, I don't even
Germany.
Know. And who's donating to us? I mean, what it's really holding them together are the central bank's donations, not so much our national government's donations. It's the central central banks. They're making donations and trying to inflate and whatever. And you look at it and say, you know, you guys don't have that. This is not necessarily the in crowd. You know, some of you may remember that song, I'm In With The In Crowd. The rest of it from back, I think it was in the 60s, maybe 70s, no later than the 70s. Being in the G7 is not necessarily being in with the in crowd. These guys are, you know, they have their problems. I don't know that there's a better group per se, but that only points the idea that the world itself is suffering through a certain amount of economic instability. There's a lot of questions going on. And how are they going to be answered, Melody? How are we going to get out of this problem? It's not clear that we're going to without first a painful reset and or recession, maybe even a global depression. The debt has to be wiped out. The debt is too great to be dealt with for most of these countries.
Well, there's much speculation that there will be an event. Everyone is planning on this, some sort of an event,
yeah.
Whether it be created, whether it be natural, but there will be an event. I believe there will be something. We'll wake up one day to a whole different world. Something will happen overnight. We'll wake up and it's going to be, we knew this was coming. And whether it's a false flag operation in order to cover the problems that these countries have created, whether it is something that is just happens because of the house of cards that falls, it's a situation that has gotten totally out of control, too big to control. Whatever the situation, whether it be another World War III, whether it be another world, a war, will it be World War III?
I don't know. It could
go. It's going to be something.
I don't anticipate. Nothing's impossible. I mean, I don't rule anything out, but I don't expect to see a nuclear war.
I don't either.
But they've already demonstrated that they can do things economically that can bring, you know, we are capable of doing things to badly damage other countries' economies, and they're capable of doing things that will badly damage ours. And a shot need not be fired.
That's correct.
It's the sort of thing that can be done by means of computers and the internet and, I don't know, paying debts, not paying debts, raising, lowering interest rates. And God help us if anybody installs a currency backed by gold. I mean, if China does something like that or Russia does something like that, that'll be an act of war. That'll be far more dangerous to our country and our economy than launching nuclear missiles. And that's hard to believe. Maybe it's not even quite true, but it's possibly true. This whole thing is vulnerable. House of cards, could topple at any time. May last another 5 years. Who knows? But it's certainly in peril at the moment. Oh, here's something about along those a little bit. There's something interesting, shocking, insightful about this article from the New York Times, which headline reads, "Hundreds of Egyptians sentenced to death in killing of a police officer." Minya, Egypt. A crowd gathered outside the courthouse in the town of Matay erupted into wailing and rage on Monday when a judge sentenced 529 defendants to death in just the second session of their trial, convicting them of murdering a single police officer in anger at the ouster of the Islamist president. That would be Morsi. I mean, holy cow. These Egyptians are talk about getting tough. They're getting tough. You know, if someone is killed, all right, someone needs to be held accountable. But it's very hard to imagine how you can hold 529 people all accountable and sentenced them all to death over the alleged murder of a single police officer. I mean, this is something amazing, and it illustrates to some degree the difference between a police state, which we have in this country. It's growing in this country, if you care to look around, and it's cause for concern and alarm. We have a police state, but the Egyptians don't have a police state per se. They have martial law. They have a government that's being run by the military, all right? And they have installed martial law, and they are not fooling around. And the implication is, yeah, police state is a bad thing, and it's contrary to our liberty and our freedoms. But it is a huge improvement over martial law. Overt martial law where the military runs a country? I mean, the Muslims are getting a dose of it, or the people of Egypt are getting a dose of it. And that's scary. Crowds after the decision, there were people, schools shut down early, and many stayed indoors fearing a riot. But the crowds went home after the trial, and soon the streets were quiet. After 9 months of escalating repression that culminated in the extraordinary verdict, the military-led government that removed President Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood appears to have finally cowed his supporters into near silence. And that's true. When the government starts executing 529 people for the death of a single government employee, well, I'll tell you, you either learn to shut your mouth, mind your own business, or you get ready to rock. Because this is now, they're just saying, go ahead, try us. The military is willing to go the distance on this. And, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. I'm certainly not in favor of big government. I'm not in favor of martial law. I'm not in favor of a police state. But I'm just saying, boy, oh boy, that's tough. I mean, they get tough if your headlight is out or your taillight is out in this country a little bit. But they don't execute all 529 cars that were driving down the road with you at the time. You know, they might give you a ticket for some of these violations, but we're not going to have mass arrests yet. In any case, it's scary, it's surprising, it's shocking. It's the kind of thing where you look at it and you think to yourself, good Lord, you know, it's hard to imagine. Is something like that possible in this country, Melody?
Considering where we are financially, considering all the problems that we really do have, and considering how long they've been covering everything up, I believe there's a lot of desperation out there. There's still a lot of money. There's still a lot of money out there. But
executing 529 people.
I can't imagine.
Given our history, our Declaration of Independence, even if no one pays much attention to it, I just can't imagine, but I'm sure people in Egypt thought the same thing.
I don't know what happens when you have a country that lives on the brink of destruction, basically. I mean, people talk, it upsets me to some degree. People talk about resetting of currencies. People talk about, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. But does anybody really know what truly does happen? I mean, does it come to this degree of what happened in Egypt? I don't know.
We talk about Egypt. You can make comparisons to Egypt. You can make comparisons to Nazi Germany. You know what I mean? The Nazi Germany comparisons are perhaps more traditional. This Egyptian comparison is just absolutely shocking. You know, you'll see a situation where 8 or 10 people might sometimes be tried.
You didn't have the problems back in the, earlier as you have today. I mean, it's, I don't know if the thoughts, I mean, it is different today.
Well, you know, part of the situation, we see government overreact in some instances. And when we see the overreaction, whether it's coming from the Egyptian government where they execute 529 people for one man's death, That's coming from Egypt. Here in the United States, we see the government sometimes overreact in certain circumstances. Are these overreactions evidence that the governments have extraordinary and undeniable power? Or are they evidence that the government itself has become so desperate that they're going to try to intimidate people into obedience by scaring them, put the fear of government into them? Don't you dare contradict what the government says. My observation over the years is that when the government is running right, it will exploit the people and shear the sheep without anyone making a complaint. The sheep won't even know they've been sheared. And that's government at its best. But when everybody understands they're being exploited by the government, and government becomes blatant and obvious in that exploitation, is that evidence that government is growing stronger or that government is growing more desperate and weaker? What do you think?
Very much so.
No, I think it's evidence that they're growing weaker. I think that's the problem, and they are becoming more desperate because you can't pull these stunts, even in Egypt. They may not have rioted in the aftermath, but I guarantee everybody's talking. Every Muslim in Egypt is now talking about the government, the military government.
Well, let me ask you a question. I know you're going to disagree, and people will probably fall over for me asking you this, but is this something that they had to do in order to keep people in a place? I mean, it...
No, they thought so. I'm sure they thought so.
It's working.
It may be that they have a system where an appellate court is going to overrule a judge's verdict. It may be this is not, so far as I know, the 529 have not yet been executed. It may be they're just going to throw a scare into everybody, and then there's, never mind. We're not going to execute all of them.
Hey,
they
the
might
crowds
have
went
five
home.
Or ten, but who knows?
The crowds
went home, I know.
The streets were quiet. Is that what they have to do in order to get this accomplished, to get the crowds to go home?
Well, Egypt has so many problems. We've talked about
this
over the
years.
But
any government in any country.
Well, we don't have answers for this. All we can say is this is certainly shocking. Is it an expression of extraordinary power, or is it an expression of extraordinary frustration and desperation on the part of the government? I don't see how they're going to hold Egypt together, and we've talked about this in the past with the problems they had, North Morsi being overthrown and so on. Egypt's got so many problems that you can expect it to explode sooner or later. And it'll, when it be fire, it's done, it may break down into four or five countries before it's all over. Hard to say what'll happen. But they don't have enough food. They have too many people. They don't have enough work. They don't have enough money. The people are angry, frustrated, frightened. What are they going to do? If they complain, the government's going to threaten to kill them all. Eventually, I don't know where this is going to wind up, but Egypt, this is an expression of the idea that it's not a good... If you're thinking about investing your wealth in a foreign country, there's a good chance that Egypt is not the one, right? Look around and you may find something a little bit better than Egypt. This is just unstable and trouble headed its way.
Is this a test? Was this a test maybe? I believe they tested.
I don't know what it may have just been an overreaction by some crazy judge. It's hard to say. It may be, again, on appeal, it may be overturned. I'm not sure. I don't know anything about the Egyptian legal system. It may be the overreaction of a crazy judge, or it may be that the government said, you got to put these people down and put them down big time. And maybe he's just following orders. But it does not, it's not evidence that this problem has been resolved. Government's willingness to kill 529 people, execute 529 people over the death of one cop, only means that the next time these people start acting, they'll act as snipers. They'll act with rifles. They aren't going to beat some cop to death. They'll be dropping them at, 500 yards and then scuttling back into a place where they can hide. And the government will come in and raid the neighborhood, execute people and the rest of that. And all it'll do is create more resistance.
How do you gather 529 people?
You got a very big net. A very big net, Melody.
I mean, somebody could have just been having a smoke under a light.
Well, I understand. That's exactly right. That's the whole thing. They can't all be guilty of this. They may be, you know, they were around, but they can't all be guilty. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Haddis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and we were talking about report that Egypt judge has decided to execute. He's found 529 people guilty of the murder of a single police officer. 529. You know, I bet you that 400 of those people didn't even see that police officer. Probably 500 of them didn't really even see him. You might find 5, 10, 20 of them that participated in killing him, but what about the other, you know, 400 or 500? How do you bring them in? But they're going to execute these people. At least that's the court order of the, at the moment. We're talking about that and how it relates to, how it illustrates that martial law, as imposed by the military, may be infinitely more painful than living in a police state. I don't want to live in a police state. I want to live in a free country. We are moving into a police state, but thank God we're at least not at the point yet where they're thinking about executing 529 people for the death of a single police officer. But and we were talking whether or not that sort of thing could ever happen in this country, given our traditions of liberty and so on, and given the fact that no matter how bad things get, if we go into a depression in this country, go into an economic depression, it's going to be a serious problem, but it probably won't be as serious as things are in Egypt right now. Right? Almost, it may well be that no matter how bad things get in this country, it'll be even worse in Egypt. So how can you make the comparison? Still, Frank, our producer, he made a couple of comments during the segment where we're talking about it, and we're curious, would something similar to 529 people being executed for one could that happen in this country? And he says, depends on how they spin it. He says they burned 80 children at Waco. So, yeah, it can happen here, and that's true. Waco, I'm not even sure. When did we see Waco? I think it was in the late 1990s.
About 95.
No, 95. And the problem of the Branch Davidians and so on. That was an atrocity. We saw it once, but on the other hand, we haven't seen quite the same thing since. The government reacted obscenely in that situation. And they did cause the death of, you know, dozens of people, including children, in a way that was just brutal and unjustified. And the government, and here we are still talking about it today. It may be that the Waco situation helped set an example where the government said, we can't go that far. We can go a long way, but we can't go that far again. Maybe. And here's another comment from Frank, our producer. He says, what if the Weimar Republic, and that was in Germany before Adolf Hitler gained power, he said, what if the Weimar Republic would have executed all the Nazis? Could that have prevented a world war? You know, it's hard to say because there are fundamental forces at work in economies, in nations, where it doesn't necessarily matter who is leading. There are fundamental problems that are going to precipitate certain consequences. And it doesn't matter if Adolf Hitler is there or somebody else is there. Without Adolf Hitler, without the Nazis, would we have still seen a Second World War? I can't argue that we would. I won't make that argument. I doubt that we would. But Germany would still have had enormous trouble. Huh? There are forces at work in an economy, in a nation, that if they are allowed to fester and grow over time, they can be enough. They can make bad things happen. It's just a question of how bad are those things going to be. And once it starts, once the dominoes start tipping, then who's going to stop them? And some people can. It's not like these are impossible circumstances, but some people can stop the dominoes from tipping if they have courage, intelligence, and they're there at the right place. You know, classic example of that was at the time that the Soviet Union dissolved and collapsed, 1991, if I recall correctly, there was a ruling group of maybe a dozen men. And Boris Yeltsin was challenging the authority of that group. And he was standing on tanks and speaking to the public, and he had attracted a lot of public support, and this group of a dozen men that were running the country right then, and it might have been 8, it might have been 15, I don't remember the number exactly. They came up to a Spetsnaz colonel. They brought him in with 6 or 8 other Spetsnaz officers, and he was one of the most highly decorated Spetsnaz. That's the Russian Special Forces. He was one of the most highly decorated officers in the Russian military, and he had been a good Russian and followed orders and so on for all of his life. And they told him that they wanted him to go out there and kill Yeltsin, and he refused. After probably 20 or 30 years of following orders and doing everything he was told and executing in a remarkably efficient and effective manner, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And when he did, the other 4 or 5 officers that were behind him, they said, all right, if he won't do it, how about you, John, Igor or whoever? And the next guy, then he said no also. And the result was no one killed Boris Yeltsin. And the result of that is that the Russian Empire collapsed. And it's always been a powerful story for me. It's been a powerful lesson that one man can make a difference. It is possible. Right? And in this case, world history was changed to some degree by one Spetsnaz colonel who refused. And he'd probably no telling how many people he had murdered in the past. He wouldn't murder Yeltsin. So one thing led to another, and the dominoes, they were moving in one direction, they moved in another direction, and next thing you know, the former Soviet Union is history. It's gone. point is that sometimes one man can make an extraordinary difference. He can change history. One man who simply isn't willing to cooperate, go along, willing to violate his own conscience, his own intellect, whatever, his own integrity, just no. And the world moves in a different direction. It can happen. But such men are pretty rare. Generally speaking, when the powers that be give orders, most people are prepared to say, yes, boss, whatever you say, boss. You want me to kill Yeltsin? How about his wife and kids? How about that? Yeah. I guess the lesson in all of this is that insofar as we have trouble, it may be that we get that trouble based more on our own failures and courage than we do from external forces. There's a situation where if you have the courage to stand up, if we all did, if we all had that courage to stand up and say, no, this is wrong, you can't do this, you can't execute 529 people for one man's murder. Can't do that. It's just completely wrong. It's nonsense. It's crazy. If they did that in Egypt, and I doubt that anyone will, but we'll see. If they did that in Egypt, you can change things. You know, Spetsnaz Colonel changed things back around 1991. You and I may have an opportunity to change things, but that opportunity will require courage, and we'll see how many of us have it. We've got a caller. David is calling in from Indianapolis. Hello, David. What you got for us?
Hey, yeah, just a few comments on that. As I recall, Egypt, there's a lot of repercussions with the Muslim Brotherhood and the Sharia law and foreign antagonists that were sponsored outside of Egypt. They had, you know, a lot of Christian churches were burned. A lot of Christians died. I think they're going to get a hold of a tiger and you use a gun.
This is not resolved, you know, what we're talking about. You're talking about the 529 people have been executed. These are members of the Muslim Brotherhood. These are Muslims in a Muslim country, and the military is turning on the Muslim population. Right?
Well,
how's that going to work out, dude?
The people of Egypt, I think, fear living under a Sharia law. That is an incredibly harsh law. I'm not sure that the punishment fits the crime. If they're going to turn this country upside down into some third world nation, too, I would expect people to react in a rather harsh way.
And that's part of my point. Insofar as I'm talking about, if you have fundamental problems within the country, fundamental divisions, fundamental inadequacies, not enough food, not enough jobs, not enough wealth, if you have those fundamental problems, your nation will be in peril until those problems are somehow resolved. And in the midst of that peril, people are likely to overreact. But those overreactions aren't necessarily evidence of growing power. They can be evidence of growing desperation, growing awareness of the peril they face. So, I know how to stop it. We'll kill them all. But you don't stop it. You only make it worse.
I could understand if this was a purely, and from the beginning, a purely Egyptian thing. You might be able to say with a lot more confidence that repression is more detrimental on the oppressor than it is on the oppressed. But there's so much outside money went into Egypt, and this country is guilty to a huge extent there, funding the Muslim Brotherhood. If this was not an overt act of aggression, and these protesters, if they weren't on the payroll, if these people were ideologically pure, that's up really to the to the Egyptian court, and there is a world court, you know, that these questions can be raised.
If you can get to it.
The world court can come to them. You know, that, you know, you talk about sanctions and stuff, but, you know, escalations and stuff, we go into little bit to do there with Russia, and we fund the doggone coalitions and stuff enter that country and start a revolution. If this stuff isn't a revolution started at the grassroots, what justification to outside fighters going in there and outside arms going in? They pollute everything so bad that no one can say this is right or this is wrong. But if there is no right
and what's left?
Wrong, yeah.
What's left
exactly.
After they pollute things? What you're saying is foreign influences come into a country. Country might have some problems. Foreign influences come in and try to exploit those problems. Even if those foreign influences are removed, once that ball gets bouncing, what are we going to see except increased instability within that nation?
Yeah, can you believe a little country like Cuba, an island nation, almost brought this country to World War III? Isn't that
it's insane.
Yeah.
And you talk about, and it's a good point, because we are talking about, here's the military that's running Egypt, that's prepared to execute 529 people for the death of one police officer. And we can sit back and we can be shocked by that and say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But on the other hand, we live in a world where the military of one nation or another is prepared to perhaps go to nuclear, global thermonuclear war and perhaps kill maybe, certainly millions, maybe a billion or more. And for what? I mean, some of it just becomes insane. It's mind-boggling. We're shocked that someone would kill 529, and yet, to some degree, we've accepted the idea that there could be nuclear war and millions might die. Over what? For what reason? There's a kind of insanity out here that's just bizarre and scary. But I'll tell you what, David, we have to thank you for your call because we're about out of time. Hope to talk to you another time, but for now, thank you. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.